Hare Krishna. Yes, this is fine. Thank you. जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रन यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद हरे कृष्णा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 वर्स नंबर 21। सर्वात्मनः समदृशो यद्वयस्यानहं कृतेः तत्कृतम् अतिवैषम्यम् निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। सर्वात्मनः समदृशो यद्वयस्यानहं कृतेः तत्कृतम् अतिवैषम्यम् निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। सर्वात्मनः समदृशो यद्वयस्यानहं कृतेः तत्कृतम् अतिवैषम्यम् निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। सर्वात्मनः समदृशो यद्वयस्यानहं कृतेः तत्कृतम् अतिवैषम्यम् निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। सर्वात्मनः समदृशो निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। यद्वयस्यानहं कृते तत्कृतम् अतिवैषम्यम् निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। सर्वात्मनः समदृशो यद्वयस्यानहं कृते तत्कृतम् अतिवैषम्यम् निरवद्यस्य न क्वचित्। माताजी सर्वात्मनः ऑफ वन हु इज प्रेजेंट इन एवरीवन्स हार्ट समदृशः ऑफ वन हु इज इक्वली काइंड टू वन एंड ऑल ही सर्टनली। अद्वयस्य of the absolute, anahaṁ kruteh, free from all material identities, sorry, free from all material identity of false ego, tatkrutam, everything done by him, mati, conscious attachment, na, never, kvachit, at any stage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. Translation. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone. And He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Purport. Because he is absolute, there is nothing different from him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except himself. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of his energy. And thus, he is present everywhere by his energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by his different energies. He is Paramatma, or the Super Soul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance, and therefore he is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living entities. When he therefore exhibits himself as a chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since he has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because his absolute spiritual identity, there is for him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he has no false ego, and so he does not identify himself with anything different from him. The material conception of ego is equibalanced in him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of his pure devotee. It is the glory of the pure devotee that only he or she can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadatisva Padantikam. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Krupatam Aham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swami Nitinamine, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarine, Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrunda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Like to offer my humble obeisances at the feet of all Vaishnavas who are present or who may be present electronically. Can this fan be switched off? Possible. So very amazing verse and a very powerful purport. When I actually read this purport, it solved a lot of confusion that I had in my mind. And the other day, our Pavaneshwar Prabhu gave a wonderful class. And he reminded of that incident, that how, I think year 2012, it's probably February, that means exactly what, 10 years back, because now it's March going on. So during that time, this unfortunate incident took place. Many devotees, they left their body in the crash. And during that period, the speakers in the temple actually chose this section of Bhagavatam to give solace to the heart of, you mentioned that, right? Yeah. To the heart of many devotees. So these shlokas indeed have that power of removing a lot of confusion in the minds. But before we begin on this section, and because this section is also known as the Bhishma Stuti, the passing away of Bhishma Pitama and glorification, there is a little less known pastime about Bhishma Pitama, which I would like to narrate in his glorification. Because we know that every great personality who speaks something very great, there is a blessing that exists. You must have read in Krishna book. When I read it for the first time, it was a surprise. I did not know that actually, we all know Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And if you see, if you study Krishna book, Vasudev speaks extensively to Kamsa to negotiate with him to spare the life of his own wife, Devaki. And the arguments which Vasudev put forward are very similar to what Lord Krishna speaks in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Very similar. So it's like the father has already spoken the same knowledge. But somehow that section of Srimad Bhagavatam is not very oftenly quoted. It's not like when you want to go and maybe there is a condolence meeting in somebody has passed and you start reading that section of Bhagavatam, like, you know, Vasudev said like this to Kamsa and all that. It's not a very often quoted. But Bhagavad Gita is quoted everywhere. It is. So why Bhagavad Gita became so famous? Because Krishna book explains that how Lord Krishna, after he graduated from the school, and it's very interesting, and how it's a consistent trait in all the parents, I always get surprised that even in my office, sometimes there are people who are like big bosses, they are directors or they are managing directors. But sometimes when you sit with them across the table and you're having lunch, invariably they say that, you know, which school is better for my child? Typically that topic comes out. And I feel that, oh, even at that level, people are just worried about which school is better for my child and my child's education. So it's very interesting that as soon as Lord Krishna left Vrindavan and Kamsa was killed, what Vasudeva was thinking about was his education. That he should get educated now because, and it's amazing. He did not think that, oh, he's supreme personality of Godhead. What is the need of education for him? And probably among all the parents of supreme personality of Godhead, if you see, Vasudeva was the only person who had a full realization that his son is supreme personality of Godhead. I mean, right at the time of birth, he came as four-handed form. And then during the Yamuna, as he was crossing, the river was separated and all that. So he has seen with his own eyes the glorious characteristics of Lord Krishna. Still, being a father, he is worried, iska education ka kya hoga? You know, I have to do something about education. So immediately they put him in Sandipani Muni's Gurukul. And Sandipani Muni taught them 64 kinds of various arts and everything. It's very nice. Actually, when I was discussing with one devotee, and I think it was Radha Gopinath Prabhu or somebody, and I mentioned to him that how is it that even after learning these 64 arts, because whatever Krishna learned, Sudama also learned. Sudama is his classmate. And if you look at the arts that are taught, I mean, there is arts such as how to fly an aeroplane made up of flour and all that. So this type of art they have learned. And Prabhupada quotes that the Pushpak aeroplane that we know, this Pushpak actually is made up of flour. And these are the arts. So can you imagine somebody who knows art of flying aeroplanes out of flowers to be a poor when he grows up and graduates? But Sudama was very poor. I mean, to such an extent that he didn't have enough food to eat when he had to take food for Krishna, that also he had to go and beg outside, right? Somebody recently said that he went to the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas and the Vaishyas and Shudras and four different types of chipped rice. And that was taken to Dwarka. So Radha Gopinath Prabhu said that not everything is taught to everybody, even within the same school. So Lord Krishna learned everything. May not be necessary that Sudama also learned all those things. It is taught as per the person's capacity and as per the hardware and the software. I mean, you just cannot have, because I brought these two computers from the same shop, I will load all the advanced systems in one computer and also in the other computer. No, it may crash down. So the knowledge is always taught with the ability of person to understand it, and so that the person can fully utilize in the person's life. As soon as that is okay, then the person graduates and goes out. Person is satisfied. Yeah, I have learned everything. Guru Dakshina is given. So when Lord Krishna graduated, what to ask for? So Sandipani Muni also was confused. Now what can I ask from this personality as Guru Dakshina? So his wife suggested that, why don't you ask for our lost son? So our son, he went to the beach to take bath and then he never came back. So Lord Krishna, Sandipani Muni asked that from Krishna. Krishna said, yeah, why not? I'll get your son back. And Krishna did that. There was a long chase that he had to do. He had to go find out which demon, then go and kill the demon, and then go to Yamaraj, and then get that son back. He did all that. And then, because the spiritual master, the guru of Krishna, was so pleased, he blessed him that whatever you speak will become famous all over the world. And then Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, that's the reason why Bhagavad Gita is famous all over the world. Because it's spoken out of the blessing of the spiritual master. Very nice. I didn't know this fact. Similarly, what Bhishma Pitama is also speaking is going to be famous all over the world. And we know how Lord Krishna is orchestrating this whole event. He is not speaking all this knowledge. He is making Bhishma Pitama do it. And he is going to become famous. And it's one of the most sweetest chapters actually in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a small story behind it. And I read this pastime in Harivamsh Puran. So I will just explain to you the story the way it is written. Again, this story is spoken by Bhishma Pitama himself. Again, during the same period that he is speaking to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So, what questions were asked by Yudhishthir Maharaj? Different scriptures are explaining different sections of those questions. Here we are only concerned with bhakti. We are concerned about the position of Lord Krishna and Uttama Shloka. And it's just beginning of Bhagavatam. And Sukadeva Goswami has to finish this in 7 days. So we just have maybe 18,000 verses. I think one of the purports sometime back only mentioned that somebody gave a Bhagavatam of 150,000 verses also, right? Maybe it was Sukadeva Goswami only, who in the other planets spoke on the Bhagavatam with 150,000 verses. So in different sections, Harivamsh Puran is again identifying one particular section of Bhishma and Yudhishthir Samvad. So one of the questions that Yudhishthir Maharaj asked Bhishma Pitama in this series, he said that, you know, I want to know one incident that I have heard about you. That I have heard that once you were offering Shraddha or Pindadan to your father, and your father personally appeared there to ask from you, what is this incident all about? And I'm not sure if I have already spoken this, but it's very nice. In this context, it is very nice. So Bhishma Pitama said, yes, I will narrate to you this whole incident. So Bhishma Pitama started speaking. He said that once I was offering a pinda, so he was doing the Shraddha Karma of his father. And all of you know that when the Shraddha Karma is performed, there is this pinda which is prepared, a ball of rice flour, which is offered. And if you know that there are these three sticks of kusha grass which are kept, right? And on those balls are kept. It's always kept on that asana of those three sticks. So he arranged those three sticks. And it is mentioned that Markandeya Rishi himself was the person who was giving the... So he was the guide priest when this whole Shraddha Karma was going on. So he kept the three sticks. And then you know that there is one pinda which is for your father, one pinda is for your grandfather, and one pinda is your great-grandfather. Right? So as he was about to put the pinda of his father, Shantanu Maharaj, he was about to put it. At that point, one hand came out from the soil, book, like this, out. And the hand started asking for this pinda, like this. I want the pinda. And Bhishma Pitama was surprised. What is this? It's like a horror movie, you know. Suddenly, hand coming out from the sand. And then he was shocked for a moment. And he started observing the hand. So the hand had the same clothes which his father used to wear. It had the same bracelet which the father used to wear. It had the same rings which the father used to wear. And Bhishma was, wow, this is my father's hand. Only difference was that it was red in color. It was like reddish, as if the blood is smeared on its all over, like that. So you can imagine, must be very ghastly actually. So here, the ball is in his hand. He's thinking where to put the ball. And the hand is asking for it. I want the pindar. I want the pindar. So Bhishma Pitama just stood there for a minute. And what do you think he did at the end? He thought for a minute and he said, is there any shastra which mentions that the pindar can be offered on the hand if the hand comes up? He just thought for a minute and said, no, there is no such instance. There is no such Vedic instruction anywhere. And he kept it on the kusha grass. Like that. Just ignored the hand completely. And this is conviction. This is conviction. Right? And just because he did that, his father actually manifested fully in front of him. And said, Bhishma, actually I was testing you. That how adherent you are to the scriptures and not to the whims of your own mind. Now, you may be thinking that why I am narrating this story. Because somehow in Krishna consciousness or in somehow in any place, in Marathi also they say, jab tak chamatkar nahi hota, tab tak namaskar nahi hota. I think yesterday somebody, or day before yesterday somebody said, right? Somebody came to Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Dwarkadish Prabhu mentioned. Humko kuch jadu dikhao. Show us some magic. They said, I am an ordinary person. I cannot show you magic to you. So, jab tak chamatkar nahi hota na, tab tak namaskar nahi hota. So, therefore, then people come out with various stories. Are, ye temple mein jaoge na, to aapko ye benefit milega. This, ye jagrut daivat hai. This is a living this. And you know, then there are so many stories that somebody says, oh, there is a Shaligram Shila I was worshipping. And one day I found a Shaligram Shila in the refrigerator. Because the Shaligram Shila wanted to eat the ice cream or something like that. Look, I have read it personally. So, there is no need for that. Just like, and just like somebody said recently, I was in the DT room. And I asked about the significance of this small Chubaka stone which is offered to Gopalji. And then the person said, actually it was offered by Aurangzeb. So please try to understand. Gopalji in himself is a great personality. He doesn't require a certification from Aurangzeb to be a great personality. Our Gopalji is great, not because Aurangzeb gave a Chubuk to Gopal. No, he's always great. So I had a lot of curiosity whether this is actually true or not. I just wanted to understand whether this fact is actually, because we have to focus on the scriptures and not on what you want and what you feel like having. So the most authentic biographer of Aurangzeb, anyone knows what was his name? His name was, Aurangzeb's name was Abul Muzaffar Muhyiddin Muhammad, that was his full name actually. Aurangzeb is not his name. Aurangzeb is his, it was given to him as a kitab. Means somebody who increases the prestige of the throne. Jo singhasan ki shan badata hai. And therefore that name should not be used actually. Because that throne is a throne which is worshipped by Bhishma Pitama. That throne is a throne which is honored by Yudhishthir Maharaj. And a cruel, power thirsty ruler cannot be called as Aurangzeb actually. So let's address him as Abul Muzaffar Muhyiddin Muhammad. So this Mr. Abul Muzaffar, so the most authentic biographer of Aurangzeb, his name is Saki Mustedi Khan. And the book that he has written is called Masiri Alamgiri. I don't know if you have heard of this book. So, Masiri Alamgiri is the most authentic biography. And he writes a very powerful statement in that about Aurangzeb. He says that Aurangzeb never ever violated a single instruction of Islam. Never. He never did it. And then he says, and then when he came to power, whatever he said became Islam. Like that. So this is how. So such a person can give chubuka to a deity. One of the classic symptoms of the Islamic rule was to break the deities. And then there are letters from various qazis and maulvis to kings telling them that, and these letters are available, that please do not stop these two rituals, breaking the deities and killing of the cows, because that breaks the heart of the kafir. And because you have to ensure that the kafir is always broken hearted, their morale should always be destroyed. So there are official letters, there are letters to Akbar also which are like that. So you feel Aurangzeb will do something like this. Now, the way the story is put up, that is even more funny. I mean, I'm just discussing it because such thoughts should not be there in the mind. When we look at the chubuk of Gopalji, we should remember only Gopalji and not some power-thirsty ruler. That's what I'm trying to say. But just see the fun. How people make funny things. This story is, when I went to one place, the story was written on a board. And the story mentioned that actually once Aurangzeb thought of attacking this temple of Nathadwara. And suddenly he lost his eyes. And then he went to his mother to ask what must have gone wrong. Abhi isme sabse bada mistake ho gaya. Kisne story likha hai malum nahi. I don't know who had written the story. And the mother told that you please go to Nathadwara and clean the steps of Nathadwara temple with your beard. And then you will get your eyes back. Okay, fine, accepted. Now, this whole process of Aurangzeb, if you study history of going and attacking the temples, that he got into that after he got the power. Right? And he only got the power after his father died. Correct? So, because it is mentioned, one of the historian explains that many of these Islamic rulers, they used to think that why am I born from a father? Why did I directly not come from a mother? If I had directly come from a mother, then I didn't have to wait for my father to die to get the kingdom. If my only mother was there, as soon as I was born, I would have been the king. But because I have in my karma this father, I have to wait now until the father dies. So now Shah Jahan died definitely after his wife died. Right? So how did the mother tell Aurangzeb that you go and clean it with your daddy? The mother is there sleeping in what we know today as Taj Mahal. He is the son of Mumtaz Mahal. Out of the four sons, this is one of, he's a third, Aurangzeb. His eldest was Dara Shikoh. The next was, forgot the name. Third is Aurangzeb, Abul Muzaffar, whatever. And fourth is Shuja, like that. So, son of Mumtaz Mahal. Where did she come appear? Now somebody said, no. Actually, she appeared in the dream and must have told him. Drushtant ho gaya. Bolte na apne aap hai. People are fond of this word called drushtant. So, drushtant ho gaya and then he did. Well, if she is a person who is coming in the dreams of people and telling people to go and surrender to Krishna, then that Taj Mahal should be considered as a Vaishnava Samadhi basically. And should be worshipped as a Vaishnava Samadhi. Because people are appearing in the dreams and telling to surrender to Krishna. Why you want to have so much of quarrel that, oh, it is a Shiva temple and it's not this and that. Just go and worship as a Vaishnava Samadhi. So nothing like this has happened. This is all story. What I'm trying to say, people create such stories and they become useless. There is no need. So Bhishma Pitamaha, He is wanting to make it a very clear fact that don't believe on all such stories. Hand came out, therefore I gave a pinda on that hand, therefore this sadhya karma should be performed. No, nothing like that. Scripture say it, just do it. Shabda Praman. Just follow the Shabda Praman. And he is very particular about it. What after this, after Bhishma Pitamaha did like this, what did his father say? I just want to read out that to you. And it's very nice. He said, O son, you indeed are knowledgeable about dharma and very truly wise. By obtaining you, I have truly become a putravan. I have perfected my life in this life and in the next just by obtaining you. O genuine and determined and sinless celibate, I tested you so that people should increase their faith in Dharma. Just the way the protector and practitioner of true Dharma gets 1/4 benefit of the Dharma, one who does not protect gets 1/4 of the sin. Whatever principles of religion the king or ruler follows, the normal population will simply emulate that same thing. Because you have considered the Vedic dharmas and the teachings taught therein as ideal, I am extremely pleased with you, and I wish to reward you with a benediction that is extremely rare, even in all the three worlds. And then he spoke this benediction verse. Nate prabhavita mrityur yavat jivitum ichchasi tvatto abhya anudnyam samprapya mrityuh prabhavita tava. The meaning is that unless and until you want to live, you can keep on living. And without your permission, mrityu cannot come even close to you. You will only die if the mrityu actually comes. This is a benediction given by his father, as per Harivamsa Purana. And therefore now, even after so many arrows going into his body, because of that benediction, he is still sleeping. He is not letting the mrityu come close to him. And as Prabhuji nicely said, the concept of Uttarayan, he was waiting for Uttarayan, but the meaning of Uttarayan here is various meanings, but one of the meanings is Uttarayan is the name of Krishna, because Uttara went and took shelter of Krishna, and because also Krishna went into the womb of Uttara to protect Parikshit Maharaj. So he was waiting for this Uttarayan, waiting for Krishna to come, and like that it is mentioned. And that's how Bhishma Pitama passed. So this is a wonderful pastime. Actually, the importance is he gave more importance to the scriptures and the word. For him, Shabda Praman was sufficient. He did not need a special chamatkar to accept the scriptures or a false history and so many things created out of it. He just accepted it. This is another wonderful thing about Bhishma that needs to be spoken. Just like every great personality, they have a particular aspect of their life which is questionable. Just like in case of Lord Ramchandra also. And the people who don't have sufficient faith, for them it actually troubles a lot. So just in case of Lord Ramchandra, everything is fantastic. But you know, why did he kill Wali from behind? That one thing it keeps on, you know, bothering in the mind. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, just in the chapter which is before this chapter, there's a beautiful word which is used by Kunti Maharani, just chapter before that. She says, Sammohaya Suradvisham. So every great personality has something like this, Sammohaya Suradvisham. Some small thing. Like in case of Lord Ramchandra, it is like killing the Wali from behind. In case of Lord Krishna, it was like, you know, dancing with all the gopis in the night. They are not officially married to him, but he danced with them and performed the Ras Leela. And even I remember when I came to Krishna consciousness, early days, and you know, you always have that lot of enthusiasm of going and telling people about Krishna, so whenever I would go and people would immediately come to the point of Ras Leela. Why did Krishna do Ras Leela? And I was not knowing all the reasons and everything and arguments. And I would just give the example of signal and president doesn't wait at the signal, etc. But I was not having that conviction of telling people of why like this. And that doubt used to be in my mind. And I used to feel, arey yaar, itna sab kuch kiya, Ras Leela nahi kiya to chalta tha na. Matlab, why he had to do Ras Leela also? Because it became difficult to preach. Of course, that's the understanding. So every great personality has something like this. Similarly, Bhishma Pitama also. Very great personality. He's a Mahajan. But something, you know, why did he not protect Draupadi when she was getting disrobed? That it always comes and stops at that particular point. So I felt like addressing that point. So why did he not do that? Little bit. And again, just to clarify about Lord Krishna also, that thought comes in the mind of people that why? So there are various detailed explanations. I think yesterday's class, Dwarkadish Prabhu also gave quite detailed explanation on how Lord Krishna's activities are very difficult and mysterious. And you can go and listen to that part. But I remember many years back, Bhakti Rasamrut Maharaj was speaking right here. That time he was Devamrut Prabhu. And he spoke a very nice thing. He said that, why you are so disturbed about Lord Krishna going and dancing with the gopis? I said, why should it not be? It was a Sunday class. Somebody had asked the question. So he said, in your society, you stay in a society, in a housing colony. He said, yeah, stay in a society. He said, do you have their children, the boys and girls together playing lagori and things like that? You know, they come and they play. Or they remember. He said, yeah, of course. Typically at the age of second standard, third standard, fourth standard, right? Those type of girls. When they become elder than that, then they don't do it, right? You may not see boys and girls playing together who are like in sixth standard, seventh standard. But if you go in normal society, second standard, third standard children, they just play around. Do you make really a fuss out of it? No. So what was the age of Lord Krishna when he lifted Govardhan Hill? So Raslila has happened just after the Govardhan Hill pastime. So when he lifted Govardhan Hill, he was just 8 years old. So 8 years old means what? In today's standard, it's like third standard student. And Lord Krishna is August born. So generally the cutoff is June, August, September, right? So he probably is a second standard student that way. So second standard boy, second standard girl playing around, would you really mind it? And would you make a fuss out of it? Oh, they do it. And those of you who know and who have studied child psychology, second standard, third standard is a typical age when they become very mischievous. So all the sweetness starts disappearing sometimes, you know, and the child becomes very mischievous. So Lord Krishna also went and stole the garments of gopis. Third standard student. Second standard. Would you make a big fuss out of it? No. So this thought should not really become, and they should not create any blockage in the mind in any way. It's a very normal thing. A second standard boy, third standard, they can just go and do such things. It's just, people get away with such things. They don't even talk about it. Right? So that's how it is. Right? So it should not be considered such a big thing. So he just inadvertently he mentioned it in that lecture. So I like that point very well. Never thought of is like this. But how do you think about Bhishma Pitama? It's a fact that when Mother Draupadi was getting disrobed in that assembly, he was present there. And he had all the abilities to stop. So of course, when Draupadi herself asked him that question, he said that because I ate the salt of Duryodhan, maine namak khaya tha uska. So therefore I had this bad thought in my mind. But there is a Vaishnava understanding. And I was recently hearing this one lecture by Gaurang Darshan Prabhu. And he mentioned that point. And I liked it. That's why I said that I have to share. So he said, he gave an example. He said, first of all, you understand that for great personalities, their actions cannot be understood. I remember many, many years back, I had got an opportunity to meet Radhanath Maharaj in person. And I had some serious questions about certain saintly people, senior saintly personalities. And he told me a simple thing. He said, it takes one to know one. He said, you may have so many doubts about saintly people, but it takes one to know one. And he said, in my understanding, those people are free of any problems. Like that. So unless you are a great person, you will not be able to understand what great person think about and what they talk about. So Gauranga Darshan Prabhu gave a nice example. He said, take the example of Lord Shiva. So he said, Bhishma Pitama is Mahajan. Let's take the example of another Mahajan, who is Lord Shiva. He said, in case of Lord Shiva, when Bhrigu Muni wanted to establish amongst three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva, who is the superior, he actually went to Lord Shiva. So first he went to Lord Brahma and then he went to Lord Shiva. And what did he do when he went to Lord Shiva? So he did not do anything. He just appeared there. And as soon as Lord Shiva saw him, he just became so ecstatic. My brother has come. And he just, you know, out of his ecstasy, actually Lord Shiva is known as the Dhira Purush. He is a Mahayogi. It's not possible to excite him so easily, right? He is a very, very serene personality. But he became excited. What kind of qualities Bhrigu Muni must be having? And generally nowadays you see people in the world, they don't see their brother and become so excited. I mean, they may love the person, but they don't visibly show a lot of excitement. But here, Bhrigumuni's position is so special that Shiva is actually showing excitement. And he just went and he wanted to hug Bhrigumuni. Right? And Bhrigumuni, he just looked at him, said, stay away. Don't embrace. Your body is all covered with all this ash and the snakes going on your body, and you feel that you can just come and embrace a Brahman like this. And what happened to Lord Shiva? Now, he is a Mahayogi. He is a Mahajan. He is a Paramahamsa. So Paramahamsa means one who is beyond anger. Hamsa, actually, one of the meaning of Hamsa is anger. Just like in that Narasimha Karuna Rasa Stotra, there is that shloka. Hamsatmakam Paramahamsa Manoviharam. That is addressing Narasimha Dev. You are Hamsatmakam, you are personified anger. But Paramahamsa Manoviharam. But the greatest Paramahamsas take pleasure in you. So Shiva is a Paramahamsa, absolutely. But he became wild angry. Extremely angry. He said, how can this person despise at me? And he took his trident. And he took the trident and went to kill Bhrigumuni. Now that is like too much. Brahmahatya. This is, Bhrigumuni is not a normal personality. He's one of the greatest Brahman, greatest tapasvi of all times. And Shiva goes to kill him. And the anger was so much that actually Parvati Devi had to come and stop him and say, what are you doing? Something very similar to how Advaitacharya reacted when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking on, what is that book called as Vashishtha? Yoga Vashishtha. And it was all giving Mayavadi interpretations. So Advaitacharya, you know, is a parshad of, eternal parshad of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu became so wild. He just went and started beating Advaitacharya with his hand. So his wife had to come. Say, stop, stop, don't do it. Little bit ulta. But here, Shiva became angry. Shiva was just about to kill Bhrigumuni. Parvati had to come and stop. Now, a very interesting thing. Now, Shiva was just despised with very harsh words and he completely threw an anger like this. Now, take an example of the same Shiva. Now, another great personality is offending him, and that is the scene of Daksha Yagya. So, Shiva was sitting on Daksha Yagya. Shiva did not receive Daksha. Here, Shiva actually became ecstatic and he went to receive Bhrigumuni. Here, he was just sitting quietly. He did not go to receive, and that offended him. In the first story, he went to receive and that offended him. In the second story, he did not go to receive, that offended him. But Shiva, and then he just came and he started speaking all bad words. You know, this man, he's just sitting, doesn't understand this and that, you know. And of course, by mercy of Mother Saraswati, we know that all of them were glorifications of Lord Shiva. What did Lord Shiva do? Did he pick up his trident and kill Daksha? He did it much later. But at that time, and that he did not do because he became just angry like that. It was Sati actually burning herself, and that loss that he had to undergo, probably you cannot understand, you know, what kind of bond that Shiva must be having with that personality. That pain of separation manifested as the demon. But otherwise, you know, in this case, he was just peacefully sitting. And Daksha comes and blasphemes everything, and Shiva was very peaceful. He just got up and left. So now the question is raised by Acharyas, that how is it possible? The same Shiva who is so easily able to tolerate the anger here, but in this case, you know, he was throwing an anger. Why? Because in the case of Bhrigumuni, he understood the intent of Bhrigumuni. The intent of Bhrigumuni was to find out who is the Supreme, and Shiva's intent was to establish that Lord Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, he acted in a way to establish this fact for all time to come. And then Lord Shiva did the same thing again during the pastime of Mohini Murti as well. Actually, Lord Krishna, when Lord Shiva told Lord Vishnu that I want to see that wonderful form which you had taken as Mohini Murti, Vishnu actually cautioned him, that are you sure you really want to see it? And Shiva said, yeah, I want to see it. He was quite adamant about it. Why Lord Shiva is like that? It is mentioned by Rupa Goswami that a Vaishnava, one of the qualities of Vaishnava that he is never obsessed about any desires. Right? Unless it's for service of Krishna purely. So whenever you see a Vaishnava obsessed with a desire, you have to understand that it's for the service of Krishna. Yeah? Just like Prabhupada was obsessed with getting that land in Juhu. We want it. Right? Somebody will say, you are a sannyasi, you should be detached. Why you are fighting this land battle, property battles? This is like normal karmi people, they do it. Like mafias. But no, this is for Krishna. I gave word to Lord Krishna that I will build a temple here. So whenever you see a devotee, a great devotee, an established devotee, obsessed with a desire, you have to understand that there is some service to Lord Krishna which is being performed. So Shiva also, as an obsessed, he said, no, I want to see your form. Although Vishnu is warning that do you really want to see it, knowing the fact that Shiva may not be able to control. But then Shiva said yes. And then Lord Vishnu came as Mohini Murti, and then Lord Shiva was running behind her. And then Mohini Murti took her through all those ashrams of Shiva's devotees only, and Shiva even followed in that, all that thing, just to make it very clear that Lord Vishnu is supreme. That was his special bond, that's his special love that is there. Just want to prove that fact. Similarly, Bhishma also had that connect and understanding. He wanted, actually, that he knew that Krishna is going to come. He knew Krishna is going to come. Now, some people say that when Draupadi was, it's given generally as an example, that how Draupadi typically first went to Dronacharya, requested him, Dronacharya refused, Krupacharya refused, Bhishma Pitama refused, and then finally she took, raised hands and said, Krishna, please come and save me. Actually, it's not like that. If you have read the Govinda Damodara Madhaveti song, the first thing, as soon as Dushyasan approached Draupadi and he wanted to drag her and disrobe her, the first thing Draupadi said is that, don't touch me, my friend is Lord Krishna and he will punish you. So right there, the thought was there about Krishna, that Krishna is going to come and protect. It's not that it happened after, the refusal from one person, second person and third person. She already was surrendered to Krishna. And the greatness of a devotee is that a devotee understands the heart of another devotee. Always. And Bhishma understanding this heart of Draupadi and understanding the special bond that Krishna would come. Right? Now treat these two incidences. Treat the two incidents. One incident is Lord Krishna comes as a small child and steals the garment of gopis and goes away. And another incident, Lord Krishna comes and provides the garment to Draupadi. Out of the two incidents, which incident appeals to the heart of a conditioned soul? Who is really looking for, who's suffering in life, looking for some shelter, right? Which incident is appealing to the heart of a conditioned soul? The stealing of the gopis garments only Paramahamsas can enjoy. But for us, whenever we hear of Krishna supplying unlimited sari to Draupadi, it just brings tears to the eyes. And he actually did that. He actually did that. And some of the Brajavasis say that. And I feel that every Sanatan Dharmi woman should know this fact very well. And I'll tell you the reason why we should know. Some Brajavasis say that actually Draupadi was in her periods when Lord Krishna did like this. When Dushyasan did like this. She was actually in her monthly cycle. So that's why she was just wearing a simple one sari. Otherwise, she would have been wearing nice dress. But that is a typical thing. So Lord Krishna did not mind getting himself wrapped around the body of somebody who is actually in her monthly cycle. That is the greatness of Lord Krishna. Just like Maharaj Pratap Rudra, when he heard about the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going and embracing that leprosy, that leper, he said he has to be Krishna. Because only Krishna can do it. Right? And we are reading that in the purport right now. Because for Krishna, everything is absolute. Krishna does not mind taking a lower position. Because he is absolute. So, because I was talking to one Catholic lady. And she said that I was speaking with another woman who was sitting next to me in the train. And she was preaching to her about Christianity. And the woman actually was convinced. And then she said that can we come to the masses even during our monthly cycles? She said, yeah. We don't have any such principles in our religion. Like that. But look at Lord Krishna. Can you do something like this? We also don't have any such principles in our religion. Yeah, there are things, if you are interacting with articles which are connected to deities, you need to keep distance. But chanting the holy names, coming to the temple, associating with devotees, no restrictions. And Krishna is going to that extent to explain this to all the fallen souls to come forever, that I don't mind. I don't care for all these things. Because I am on the side of dharma. If it is a question of protecting the dharma, I will go and do it. So Bhishma Pitamaha, in his position, specifically not taking steps of protecting Draupadi, knowing the fact that Krishna would come and do it, and that pastime will be glorified eternally forever. And that pastime will give so much of conviction and so much of hope in the hearts of devotees. And that's the reason why Bhishma Pitamaha controlled. That's what I heard in the lecture. And I like that point very well. And therefore, we should understand that great personalities, how they react and how they act and what is going in their mind is very difficult to understand. And therefore, we need purports. We need acharyas. And now we actually come to the core topic of this purport. We don't have much time left. But this purport actually tells, it creates, I already mentioned that it removes a lot of doubts from the minds of people. So, in Krishna consciousness, many times, and this is because all of us are coming from the outside world. We come to the temple. The thing that comes out along with us, actually, all of you know that when you come to temple, you are supposed to put the shoes outside and then come. Why is it like that? I remember many years back, there was this movie called as Hum. You remember any of this? Anyone seen this movie? And then the person is enacting as a great army officer. He is pretending to be an army officer. And the other army officer looks at the shoes of the person. The shoes are not proper. They are turned off. And he understands that actually he is not an army officer. And he tells it that your status is revealed from your shoes. And from the shoes I could understand that you are not belonging to the status of an army officer. So, shoes is actually a status symbol, right? And in school days, you must be remembering, somebody brings a new pair of shoes, you feel like, oh, I also want to have those type of shoes. And same with the ladies also, right? The different shoes come up and they say, you know, I want to have that, so I want to have those shoes. Shoes is a status symbol. So, when you come to temple, you put the status symbol outside. That when I'm coming, I'm just coming as a servant. What is the meaning of that? Because whenever the status thing comes, then along with the status comes a disease, and the disease is known as comparison. And then you are always comparing. You know, this person, he is such a great, he speaks so well, he sings so well, he speaks Sanskrit, I mean he can quote Sanskrit shlokas. I remember many years back, our kitchen staff, they used to say that if you eat mirchi, you can memorize shlokas very well. So many devotees started eating mirchi also. I remember this very well. So because they wanted to memorize shlokas. And then, you know, this person is a well-qualified person. He's a rich man. You know, he has a beautiful wife. He has a handsome husband. And there's so many comparison. And these comparisons literally is a disease. It's a disease. It completely is a distraction in devotional service. Recently, in Govardhan Eco Village, we celebrated... how much it was? 84th marriage anniversary or 86th marriage anniversary of, 86th birthday. 86 years age, 70th marriage, 72nd marriage anniversary of Sahadev Prabhu. And if you have seen Sahadev Prabhu as a person, he still has all the teeth intact at the age of 86. All teeth. I am 46 age. Half of that, and my already 2-3 teeth are gone. I have artificial teeth at the age of 46. He's 86. All teeth in his mouth, intact. And he gives many times here and sits and gives fantastic classes also. And I have seen that many of his hair are also not grey. The black, he still has black hair at age of 86. So, I asked Sahadev Prabhu, what is the secret of your good health? That how you have been able to be so good, healthy, and always with this ability. And he told me a very nice thing. He said that in my life, I never did any comparison. He said, this is the secret of my good health. He said, I never thought that, oh, this man is so rich. He has a car, so let me also go and have a car. And I asked this question. I remember this was I asked this question in Naji Prabhu's. There was a program at Naji Prabhu's house, and he gave me this answer. And in GEV, somebody else asked him the question, he gave the exact same answer. So he's very consistent with that answer. That only because he is not doing the comparison constantly, that is the secret of his long life. So this is a disease of mind. Try to understand. So we keep that disease outside. The disease of comparison. But this comparison always comes. That, oh, and then the comparison goes into any extent. So I remember once we were sitting in that this garden here. And one devotee, he came to me and he put his shoulder around me. He took me in front of Shamanand Prabhu. I said, Shamanand Prabhu, sincere devotee, yeah? Very sincere, looking, showing hand to me like that. Very sincere devotee, Shamanand Prabhu, like that. And Shyamananda Prabhu in his style looked at him and said, who is stopping you from being sincere? Like that. He made that comment. So he's stopping you from being sincere. So there's no need of comparison. He is more sincere, less sincere. Who is stopping you from doing that? And we'll come to that point later on. So all of these comparisons keep on existing. And then that comparison leads to an understanding that maybe Krishna is more favoring that particular person than me. Right? Maybe that's why he has no problems in his life, or she has no problems in her life. Right? Because Krishna is probably favoring that person. And then anything good happens to their family, the boy comes out, the boy scores nice marks in the exam, the son becomes a big doctor, whatever. And you feel, oh, Krishna is favoring that person so much. So all these thoughts are actually distraction. That distraction on the path of devotional service. And that factor is made here very clear in this. So there are three things which Prabhupada is telling in this purport. That you should not have any such thoughts. So what are the three things that Prabhupada is saying? First and the foremost, and they are just a translation. So they are there in the shloka. And Prabhupada is just elaborating the meaning of the shloka in those three things. So the first thing that everyone should know very clearly, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute, and then there is nothing outside of Him. So the concept of this is mine and that is somebody else, that doesn't exist in Lord Krishna. So why would Krishna favor somebody, and why would He disfavor or unfavor somebody? That happens when you feel that, oh, ye mera hai, ye dusre ka hai. But Krishna does not have that, because there is nothing is dusre ka in Him. Everything is Krishna only. Everything is coming from Krishna, right? Sarvam khalvam idam brahma. Everything is coming from Krishna. Not only human beings and not only the souls, but even the inanimate objects are coming from Lord Krishna. So why would Krishna ever feel that this is not mine and this is mine, and therefore I have to favor what is mine and not favor what is others? That cannot happen, because everything is coming from Krishna, because He is absolute. So the concept of mine and aham nija para vyakti, that they say, ganana laghu chetasam. Udhara charitanam tu vasudhiva kutumbakam. So aham nija paravyakti. This is paravyakti, this is nija vyakti. This is mine, this is para. That doesn't exist in laghu chetasam. That doesn't exist in Krishna. Because Krishna's, for Krishna, everything is same. The second principle is, Lord Krishna has already come as the counsel and the chariot driver of every living entity by becoming Paramatma in the heart. So you may think, oh, Arjuna is very special. Pandavas are very special. And Bhishma Pitama is saying this actually in the previous shloka. That same Krishna whom you thought sometimes as a friend, or whom you thought sometimes as a counsel, or sometimes as a brother, or sometimes as a charioteer, sometimes as a messenger, is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is speaking in the previous verse. He is saying, Prabhupada is saying, don't feel like that this is only a super facility for Pandavas. No, every living entity, because Paramatma is in your heart, He has already come as a spirit soul. And then we'll come to the third part, but that I will come little later on.
So about the first thing, I just want to tell one small story. And then we can go to the next 2 points and then we can end. So understanding the fact that for Krishna, there is nothing like, ye mera aadmi hai, dusre ka aadmi hai, therefore I'll be favorite to him or favorite to them. So one nice story, I heard one lecture from our Deen Gopal Prabhu, you remember? So he spoken on the same verse actually, if you get to hear that class. So I was hearing, and he told this nice story. He said, one time Lord Krishna, it was childhood, and they were going in a bullock cart. So Yashoda, Mai, Krishna, all the, they're all going in a bullock cart. And then Krishna looks at a female parrot and says, who is this? So she says, this is a sari. And then sitting next to a male parrot. So who is that? So that's a male parrot. It's Shuka, Shuka and Sari. So what is the connection between the two? So Yashoda Mai says, abhi kya bolte hai isko? So he said, they are husband and wife. Shuka is husband and she is wife. Oh, achha. I said, who is this animal? He's a bull. They're going in a bullock cart. And who are those other things there? They are cows. This is bull. That's a cow. So what is the connection between the two? He said, the bull is a husband and cow is a wife. So okay. Nice. And then they go a little further. And then there are few people sitting in the bullock cart. So who is this? She's a gopi. And who is this man? He's a gopa. What is the connection between the two? Because Gopa is a husband and Gopi is a wife. And Lord Krishna says, everyone has husband and wife. I am only not having my wife. Why I don't have a wife? So Krishna said like that. Main aake, mera hi wife nahi hai. Meri patni nahi hai. Baki sabke paas patni hai. I somehow don't have a wife. I also want a wife. So, and just when Krishna said like that, you know, obviously small child speaking like that, it really created a lot of emotion in the heart of people who are listening to this. And their heart just became so overwhelmed with ecstasy. There were so many people there and they all wanted Krishna to come and sit on their lap. Because, you know, just so became so attracted. And then there was a, among all these people sitting in the bullock cart, in one corner, one very old Brajavasi lady was sitting. Now she also had that desire. Now the small ladies, when they had the desire, they could actually go and caress Lord Krishna. They could, you know, do like this to his cheeks and take, you know, kissed him or whatever. But this lady, old lady, she couldn't do much. She was just sitting in the corner. 130-year-old lady. So Lord Krishna immediately got up from Yashoda Mai's lap and went and sat on her lap. So she had the desire of taking Krishna on her lap. But she couldn't do much. But Krishna just got up spontaneously and went and sat on her lap. And then he said, she will be my wife. Like that. And then everybody, oh, how can she be your wife? No, she is 130-year-old. You are just 3-year-old. How can... And then Krishna said, no, because we have a lot of similarities. So what is the similarity? He said, I don't have any teeth. And she also doesn't have any teeth. Therefore, she is fit to be my wife. And she just created a huge rasa like that. And people just enjoyed that pastime. I like this story very much. Very sweet. Very sweet. How Krishna just reciprocated to the desire of this old lady. Now, thought may come in your mind. Are ye to Brajavasi hai na? Special people. So with them, Krishna can do like that. No, don't think like this. Don't think like this. That's the point which I am trying to say. Don't think that Krishna will only fulfill desires of Brajavasis. No. Krishna fulfilled desires of everybody. But it may take some time. But because that desire is connected to Krishna, the desire is absolute and it will be fulfilled. Believe me, it works. Because he is Lord Krishna. Time may separate. So one personality. As Lord Ramchandra entered the palace of Maharaj Guha many, many years back, millions of years back. Lord Ramchandra entered the palace of Maharaj Guha, not the hut of Maharaj Guha. He was a sannyasi, but he was so beautiful, putting the days of the tapasvi. But he was so beautiful. And Lord Krishna went there and he just accepted an asan, sat on the asan. The mother of Guha, she was standing in the corner. And she saw this beautiful form of the Lord. And she had a desire in her heart that, you know, she wants to take Lord Ramchandra on her lap as a small child. And she said that if at all this person was a small child, I would have picked him up and put him on my lap. So she had that intense desire. Right? She never spoke that desire to anybody. And then that's it. that event took place and Lord Ramchandra went there, stood there for one day. Nobody knows about this. The Acharyas say that the lady who many years later came into Lord Krishna's courtyard to sell the fruits, that was the same personality of Maharaj Guha's mother in the past life, wanting to have Krishna on her lap. And in that particular pastime, when Lord Krishna came out, Lord Krishna came out, he came out with this small tandul, rice, and gave it to her. And naturally, immediately in her heart, she said, "Can you please come and sit on my lap once?" He said, "Yeah, of course." And Krishna also very careful, because you know that time people they look at your caste and all that, and then only they will go and you know sit next to you. So Krishna looked at everybody, nobody's watching him, quickly went and sat on her lap. And then she caressed him very nicely. And then by the time Yashoda Mai just came out, "Hey Krishna, what's happening?" Krishna immediately got up from her lap and then went. And she was just so happy. She was just so happy having Krishna on her lap for just 2 minutes. Desire was fulfilled. Right? And then, you know, Krishna gave her that bag full of jewels, which the Acharyas mentioned that she actually threw it in Yamuna River. And she carried the jewel of this memory that Krishna came and sat on my lap for 2 minutes. That was the jewel that she carried in her heart. Point which I'm trying to make is that Krishna fulfills everyone's desire. The time may separate. Why? Because he's there in the heart. So from Krishna's point of view, there's nothing like great, not great, rich, poor, this caste, that caste, man, woman, periods, not periods, nothing. From Krishna's point of view, he is equal to all. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshtosi napriya. Right? And he also has come as a charioteer in your heart. So from Krishna's side, he has already done the two things. Many people sometimes they say that, quoting the incident of Yashoda Mai, of the tying of the Damodar Leela, that ultimately you can do your effort, but then the success comes from Krishna's mercy. It's actually the other way around. Krishna has already done everything. Now you have to do your effort. Like Shyamanam Prabhu said, "Tumko kon rok raha hai sincere banne se?" You have to do your effort. That's all is pending. And that's what Prabhupada says here and closes the purport with that line. And Prabhupada says that it is the glory of a pure devotee that only he can bring about the service from the affectionate Lord. That is the only thing which is pending now. Krishna has done everything from his side. Only thing that is pending is now you to do something so that Krishna's affection can just come out like that. And you can experience that perfection. So this is what we learn from this purport. Thank you very much. And sorry for exceeding the time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.